You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Oh yeah, welcome to another thrilling episode of the 12L Radio Show. It's me, Joe Thrashenkill, here with my number one good and golden boy. I'm talking, of course, about 365 Days of Horror, as we like to call him, Jordan. Jordan, how you doing?
I am hanging on to the last few precious hours of vacation before we are all forced back into our offices.
It sucks, man. Like, I gotta do, like, an intensive school program in, like, 2 days. I don't want to give up on this sweet freedom I've had to decide that I need to watch a Danish movie at 2 o'clock in the afternoon every day.
Is there a specific Danish movie, or just are you on the DanishMovie.com streaming service and you just kind of pick whatever?
I've been on a real train of watching some Danish films. The one I watched most recently was Riders of Justice, and I gotta say it was pretty good, pretty fucking good. But you know, there's lots of good Danish movies. There's Clown, there's Another Round, there's Men and Chickens, lots of good stuff. The Danes, they know what they're doing with this this whole movie thing, I think.
So is there a specific genre that the Danes like really excel at, or is there a style that's specific to them that you can be like, that's a Danish movie, I know that right away?
So I guess what I'm taking away from these movies is that, you know, they can be comedies or they can be action movies or drama, but they seem to encapsulate a lot of I'm trying to use the right grammatical way about this because I feel self-conscious about it. It encapsulates more genres in one than we typically do in American movies, you know? So we got pretty big tonal shifts between violence and humor and so on and so forth. It's just, I don't know, it seems like it's less one note.
Well, they can't do vampire western because Danzig has already done that.
That's true. That's true. So, you know, better luck next time, Danes.
Is there a version of, like, do they have Turkish Star Wars, like something that's hilariously bad that they tried to do that everyone kind of knows about and laughs at?
If they do, they've kept it a secret because everything seems very tasteful. I'm sure that they have their fair share of trash cinema. I don't know about it. So if you're a big Dane head, you know, hit me up in these comments. Let me know what the real shitty Danish movies are so I can watch those. I'm on the train right now. I need to know.
Well, now I want to see a movie starring Nicolas Cage where he's searching through whatever the Danish version of the Library of Congress is to find, like, the notoriously bad Danish movie.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the government grants that they have for art and stuff like that, they're just like, you trying to make trash? Get the fuck out of here. No funding.
There's a map written on the back of a Volbeat album that helps him find it.
You know, what do you plan on doing with these last couple of days of sweet freedom before you got to go back to the fucking grind?
The same thing that I've been doing all week, which is probably nothing.
Isn't that a shame? I mean, the weather outside where you are is decidedly less shitty than it is here. Go out and, like, I don't know, what do people do outside?
I don't know. It's not nice weather here right now. It's like rainy and foggy. It just happens to be unseasonably warm. And I don't know. Just going to look out the window and be sad. Maybe listen to some My Dying Bride to really hammer it home.
Yeah. No, just all night long jamming Catatonia. Like, let's go ahead. Let's just go ahead and make these feelings come out now of alienation, sadness. Cool. Well, Jordan, I do have some good news for you. You know, there's not a lot going on in the world of metal in this new fresh year, but I think we are starting on a good note. I've got news here. Hjarlov Henker. Do you know Hjarlov?
I am surprisingly not a Jarl head.
Well, Yaroslav Henker, or his real name is Isidoros Galanis. He's a fucking Greek guy who's stealing, you know, Northern Europe valor. Well, they got to him because he's fucking dead. You might have known him from his previous work with Lamentation or Wodulf, or more likely Der Stürmer.
Oh, that's a real shame.
Yeah, damn shame. Dead at the age of 47. Died just yesterday of heart failure.
Heart failure? I would have guessed like maybe muffled by his own ass. Like maybe he was just wearing a gas mask and shoved the hose up his butt and just huffed himself to death.
Yeah, no, it's a real dark day for metal that old Hjarlov went ahead and fucking died.
Well, I will be pouring none out for him on the sidewalk.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's Der Stürmer, you know, they were running since the late 90s or whatever. I got to say, he's not the only Der Stürmer. There was also Jarl von Hagel, who I think was also another fucking Greek guy.
Is this an L.A. gun situation where there's multiple Der Stürmers or like Batushkas?
I think there are, but this is the one that most people know. You know, the greatest hits like the Blood Calls for War, Transcendental Racial Idealism and such. So sucks. Real sad stuff.
Yeah, we'll always have KK's Der Stürmer. Like do you think they continue on, or is this the end?
I mean, unless you're like a real fucking nerd, like I assume that people don't get super picky with these kind of bands, right? Like I could be wrong here, but I assume that anybody that's, you know, gonna pay to see Der Stürmer at Dingbats or whatever is like, it not you're our love, not real Der Stürmer, not attending, no support.
It's the opposite of the just the riffs crowd. It's just the Hateful Message crowd.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought anyway. Start the year on a rough note here, but hopefully we can find some better things to talk about. Already, January 2nd here that we're recording, and we're off to such a sour note.
I eat sour notes for breakfast. Don't know, wait, those are sour Skittles.
When's the last time you went to a dentist?
Like a week ago.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, are you doing okay? You got a clean bill of health?
Yeah, my teeth are in good shape.
That's great, man. I can't go anymore because I know it's bad, and I don't want to get the bad news.
Just knock them all out and get that James Bond jabber jaw teeth.
I really want to just start over. I want to look like Walton Goggins, just a huge set of white teeth. I think that'd be great.
Just extra shiny and straight?
Yes, extra big, too. Give me the biggest teeth you got. Well, you know, it's not necessarily that it's all bad news, you know. There are other things happening, but unfortunately, we have to start with some headlines that I found. You know, I've been doing a ton of research for this show. You know, I like to do the best show that I can for our listeners. So I pulled out roughly a dozen or so recent headlines scouring the internet. They're not all from blabbermouth.net, so don't accuse me of that. And I just wanted to bring some out here, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, might as well. This time of year is usually pretty light when it comes to news or things happening, and that goes double when we're into our, 50th year of COVID?
Yeah, going on a... what is the 50th anniversary? Is that the golden one?
I don't know.
Whatever, fuck it. Let's see. Latest headlines. Watch new video of ex-Iron Maiden singer Paul Di'Anno receiving lymphatic drainage massage treatments.
Hit that like button, smash it, drain it of its pustules and fluids ASAP, bro.
I don't know what Blabbermouth deems like newsworthy. But I gotta say, watching an old man get a lymphatic drainage massage treatment is not necessarily what would have passed the test for me.
But you have some medical knowledge. Maybe you can get something out of it.
I mean, yeah, it's just, I don't know for your average Iron Maiden fan, or at least your average first album Iron Maiden fan, like what you're going to get out of seeing this guy get his lymph nodes massaged.
Is there a GoFundMe attached to it at least, or something like that?
Yes, there is. So
okay, well, yeah. That's a small purpose to having this on your website, I suppose. You think it's going to help him, and this is a video of he's on the road to recovery.
I mean, but at the same time, like, this crowdfunding thing, it looks like it ended months ago, so yeah. I don't know.
I mean, it's not like it's a video of the guy from Warren playing Cherry Pie while eating a slice of cherry pie.
How did you have that same tab open?
Because we've been very bored this past week.
Watch Warrant's Joey Allen taste sweet cherry pie at Sweetwater headquarters. You know what Sweetwater is, right?
It's a division of Raytheon, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Some of those places do have names like that. It's the innocuous, like, I don't know, Blackwater. Water's fine. Black is a nice color.
I like the
might idea, as well have Sweetwater too.
I like the idea of Sweetwater being like the consumer division of like a mercenary group. Now Sweetwater is like a site you use to buy instruments and stuff online. I've never used it because I prefer to buy everything used because I'm cheap. But the folks that I know that have used Sweetwater say nothing but good things about it and their customer service in particular. Now,
and what does cherry pie have to do with Sweetwater? I assume, just looking at the headline, it was some sort of bakery company, and that would make more sense, wouldn't it?
It would. So, and also, like, you've seen the decline of Western Civilization Part 2, right?
Yes.
If you will recall, the guy from Cherry Pie, who later took his own life, was not necessarily a fan of all of the promotional tie-ins with that song.
I mean, at this point, they just need money, so team up with Marie Callender and have your song played while moms eat cherry pie on screen. You might as well, right?
You might as well. But, you know, Janie Lane, the former singer from Warrant, I do have this quote in front of me here. It says, I had a record done. It was called Uncle Tom's Cabin. And the guy from Columbia called me up and said, I don't hear the single. You got to write a single like Love in the Elevator. I really need something like that. So that night I wrote Cherry Pie. I sent it to him, and he lived with it over the weekend. And then all of a sudden, the album's called Cherry Pie. The record's called Cherry Pie. I'm doing Cherry Pie eating contests. The single's Cherry Pie, right? If I'm lying, I'm dying. My legacy is Cherry Pie. Everything about me is Cherry Pie. I'm the fucking Cherry Pie guy. I could shoot myself in the fucking head for writing that song. So it's kind of fun that, for whatever reason, Sweetwater, the instrument retailer, had Joey Allen from the band coming by and gave him a slice of fucking cherry pie.
I guess at the same time, your legacy could have been nothing. So it's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't, but I don't know.
I'd sell my soul for a record contract.
And you hear stories about that a lot, especially with bands in the 80s. Labels forcing them to write singles or doing covers, and those singles and those covers were almost always the band's biggest hit.
It's true. I mean, what was it? Quiet Riot did Come On, Feel the Noise, mm-hmm. basically as a shit take, and it took.
Yeah, they purposely played that song badly in the studio because they didn't want to do it, and that's their biggest hit.
Yeah, and that was a sweet cover, if I remember correctly. So
yeah, something like that.
Pretty What the fuck, Sweetwater? This was fucked up.
It's just so odd. Like, again, why do this? Do they have a lot of warrant fans purchasing stuff? Is that like the age group is 50-year-olds who are willing to buy fancy guitars for too much money?
I mean, yeah, you have to assume that your most lucrative demographic is your dentist, right? Sweetwater, I'm sure, sells a lot of Eric Clapton signature guitars, right?
As long as they don't sell any bootlegs on eBay, they should be okay.
I gotta say that at the tail end of his life, Eric Clapton is really swinging for the fences.
The great ass showing of 2020 to 2022 for some people.
I love it. I've hated Eric Clapton for years, mostly on a musical basis. But you know, every time he comes up now, it's you know, people post video of him you know, doing his racial separatist shtick from the 70s. Just a huge piece of shit for most of his life.
But he's never eaten the slice of cherry pie at Sweetwater headquarters.
No, but they might make him play the song he wrote about killing his own kid.
Tears in Heaven with, I don't know, dolls falling off of tables.
Yeah, just like knocking a cabbage patch off the rafters in the warehouse.
That should be Sweetwater's thing, is just taking literal interpretations of famous songs, making artists play them, and then act out whatever the song is about.
I mean, I'd be more likely to purchase new from Sweetwater specifically if their whole thing was just hurting musicians' feelings.
If it's just Fred Durst breaking things with a hammer.
Yeah, they could have surviving members of Hanwha Rocks get in the car with Vince Neil. That could be fun.
Could have the guy from Der Sturmer. Oh, no, wait, you can't.
R.I.P. R.I.P., man. Here's a headline that popped up, and I had questions about it, and I had to show it to my wife. It says here, Bruce Dickinson. Iron Maiden fans are a little bit like plywood. We get a new layer every year. So, go ahead and give me your impression of that. I'd like to hear what you think.
He lives in a mansion where the floor is like 5 feet thick because it keeps stacking plywood up every year.
It just grows. That's the thing about plywood. You can't stop it from growing.
His head is just banging up against the ceiling because it keeps going up.
My wife used to be a carpenter. So I showed her this headline. I wanted to know her impression of this as, you know, somebody who's familiar with woodworking and plywood and such. See what she thought. And she said to me, "What the fuck?"
Just what an odd thing to reference when you're like an airline pilot. Presumably you know about planes, you know about controls. Why not have a simile or a metaphor involving that instead of your floor?
Yeah, like Iron Maiden fans are a little bit like the carbon accumulation in the atmosphere. It continues to increase every year. Like that would make more sense. He might be thinking of living trees.
Iron Maiden fans are a lot like balsam wood. They snap at a moment's notice.
I do appreciate that Blabbermouth is essentially a clearinghouse of whatever tiny little metal outlet globally exists. So they can isolate the dumbest quotes from whatever interview was said here. This was an interview with Anders Boter's Tiny TV. You big fan of Anders Boter's?
I'd like to meet or talk to whoever puts these things up on Blabbermouth, because occasionally you'll see like little subversive things inside, like towards the bottom of the articles, where they correct whatever dumb thing a musician has said, or, well, actually someone, and it's very entertaining.
Yeah, like I used to think that these blabbermouth posts were put together by like an algorithm, but now I'm convinced it's just like a guy that's chained to a desk.
And they certainly have their the same artists that they reference and post about constantly. I mean, at least once a week you're going to get something from Ted Nugent because people are going to click on it and be like, "Wow, what the fuck?" It's not like anyone's like, "Man, what is Ted Nugent up do today? I'm real excited about him yelling Bango Tango while shooting a deer."
Yeah, I mean, if you were, for example, interested in what, just pulling an example out of the ether, would be Ted Nugent is doing right now.
Segway.
He is claiming that the people who run the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame are, quote, rotten and dishonest. So,
sure.
Okay. Why not? If it's anything like, you know, the Baseball Hall of Fame, yes, it absolutely is rotten and dishonest, judged by the worst people that could possibly judge a sport.
I mean, any institution that says you are good enough to be in here is going to be a little shitty, right?
I'd think so. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in particular is kind of a strange case because, you know, at least with baseball, you have
You have to play baseball.
You have to play baseball. You got ballots. Again, it is up to the biggest fuck nerds in like media to decide whether or not you should make it in, which is unfortunate. But there are criteria.
It is good when they keep out people like Curt Schilling.
Very good. Very funny. But at the same time, like, I mean, I don't know if you ever follow like any sports writers online, but like them giving their tortured reasoning for like why Barry Bonds doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. It's just absurd. Absolutely absurd to me.
Cause fuck him. That's why.
So, you know, the baseball is like a thing. There's a league and shit. Whereas the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, as far as I can tell, it's like an office in Cleveland attached to a tourist trap museum. So I don't really know what to make of the criteria for selection there. Nugent, though, I did learn from this Blabbermouth article, has been eligible to be inducted since the year 2000. So we're going on 22 years of him getting the snub, which is pretty funny.
I think at least some of the criteria is amount of time played and as a band and active and sales as well, or like influence, things like that. It's one of those, here's some real things that you can reference and sort of the amorphous generic, you've done stuff, so now is your time. So yeah. It's a little all over the place, and that's why you sometimes get bands who have real accomplishments that still haven't gotten in, and sometimes you might get like a doo-wop band from the 50s.
Yeah, I mean, it has to, like, how bad do you think it burned Ted Nugent's ass that Run DMC got inducted before him?
And isn't that his main complaint? It's like, how can Madonna get in? It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, essentially, like, he said, I'm not offended that I'm not there. Right.
I'm not mad at all.
I'm not mad, and I'm laughing, actually.
Look how fucking not mad I am.
You're the one that is mad, actually, if you look at this empirically. He continues here, I'm not offended that I'm not there, but not because of me, but for the fans. Why isn't a band like Triumph in there, but Grandmaster Flash is? That's just dishonest.
Because people have heard of Grandmaster Flash?
Yeah, man. He had some real fucking bangers. Like, I would 1 million times rather listen to White Lines than literally anything Ted Nugent has ever done. Continuing on, he says, that's just dishonest. Why are Patti Smith, ABBA, and Madonna in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but not Styx?
Because they've all sold way more albums than Styx?
Yeah. Also, Styx is awful. Are you kidding me? You can only explain that it's the people who made those decisions are just plain rotten people. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame should genuflect to Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, Howlin' Wolf, Muddy Waters, the Motown Funk Brothers. Are you kidding me? How dare you put Grandmaster Flash, ABBA, and Madonna in that? I'm not angry that I'm not in there, because I'm having so much fun that it's stupid. And the angriest fucking thing I've ever heard in my life.
We're having a great time over here, not being in the Hall of Fame. We're drinking lots of beer, and we don't need them.
I have a new album called Detroit Muscle, which is another authoritative rhythm and blues rock and roll from the Motor City. I'm surrounded by guitars and amps, and I play with a bunch of killer musicians. My music is a flamethrower of fun, positive energy, and piss and vinegar. That's the real Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, since the people who run the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame have been dishonest. It would have been an honor to be part of an institution that celebrates the founding fathers of rock and roll like Chuck, Bo, Little Richard, James Brown, and going back to Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters, and Sam and Dave and Wilson Pickett. I would be honored to share that. What a middle thing.
All those people would hate your guts.
Oh, absolutely. I would have been honored to share that. What a middle finger to the real heroes of rock and roll and rhythm and blues put those other people in. Grandmaster Flash, really? Why don't we go down to Chuck Berry's grave and piss on it? I mean, he would have been really into that, actually. That would have been his... That would probably give him a huge ghost boner. Are you kidding me? That's not a Ted Nugent presumption. That's not an opinion. The evidence is overwhelming. Anyway, I know people say Nugent is a radical and he dogs the draft. That's a lie. They say, oh, well, Nugent is a racist. That's a lie. They say, oh, Nugent adopted a 9-year-old girl. That's a lie. Yeah, she was 16. They say Nugent disrespected Native Americans. That's a lie. Are you fucking kidding me? Around my campfires, we laugh till we cry about the attacks on me. They're just so stupid. These people that say they're strangled by hate. I've never seen a more not mad statement in my life, Jordan.
Grandmaster Flash started a new genre that is massively popular today, more popular than rock and roll. And I was just curious. I had looked up Ted Nugent's discography. He hasn't had a gold or platinum album since 1982.
Ooh, tough. I would like I'd like to go ahead and close this out a little bit. According to Ted, the fact that both Patti Smith and Grandmaster Flash have been inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a result of political correctness, which he calls a self-inflicted and embarrassing scourge. He added in a mocking tone, "Yeah, Grandmaster Flash is rock and roll, and I'm a gay pirate."
Yar.
Yeah, there we go. I really enjoyed this one. Blabbermouth sometimes comes through with the goods.
The good die young, and Ted Nugent lives forever.
Unfortunately, true. It does give me some good vibes to know that all of the things that we've said about Ted Nugent over the years, all the things that, you know, the internet writ large likes to say about Ted Nugent, he sees it and it pisses him off. So
just sitting in his little country home, staring at Blabbermouth comments, getting pissed off.
Keep it up, folks. He's seeing it. He's getting madder. He's getting more unhinged. We gotta keep it up. Don't let up pressure now. I have a few more from I have a lot more from fucking Blabbermouth, by the way. I don't know how much further you want to go through this. We could do this all day.
I got nowhere to be.
How about this one? Rockers, I need to give this the tone that it deserves. Rockers mourn passing of actress Betty White. I don't think there's an article I've ever wanted to read less, my friend.
Okay.
The first sentence here: Disturbed members David Draiman and John Moyer, the Offspring guitarist Kevin Noodles Wasserman, and Anthrax bassist Frank Bello are among the rockers who have reacted on social media to the passing of Betty White.
Okay.
Do you want to read what Noodles has to say? Because I fucking don't.
Okay.
I know a lot of people were kind of bummed about this. They enjoyed the work of Betty White or whatever, but I can't stress this enough. She was 99 years old.
She was beloved and 99. She had a good life, a better life than literally everyone listening to this show right now, and she lived longer than pretty much everyone else who was going to listen to the show.
No, that's a guarantee. No one listening to this show, no one participating in this show is going to make it that far.
Oh, man, I'm lucky if I make it the sixth day, let's be honest.
Yeah, about the same. My blood pressure's through the goddamn roof right now. Not because I'm mad, I'm laughing, actually.
I'm laughing as my blood turns to marinara sauce.
It's congenital, goddammit. So, yeah, there you go. If you want to read what Noodles Wasserman has to say, you know, you can go to blabbermouth.com.
Not to make light of a beloved person's death, but I people were tweeting out, like, you know, this doesn't pretend well, or this isn't a good omen for 2022, right? That's, you know, people were trying to make this a thing and not just this is when someone passed away.
Right.
And my thought was, what if all these bad things were happening because she was still alive and now it's smooth sailing?
Yeah, the curse is done. Betty White has, you know, hexed you. That's what we'll go with.
You're free now.
Yeah. The evil is vanquished.
Thank you for being a friend.
She was the last remaining Golden Girl, right?
She was.
Yeah. You know, lots of people really enjoyed the show. I've seen, I don't know, a handful of episodes that seemed pretty good to me. But yeah, I'm going to go with your interpretation. I think that those broads were cursing every one of us. But let's move on here. I don't want to offend anybody with completely neutral takes on Betty White. Stephen Piercy doubts Rat will ever get inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with that.
I'm with you, dude.
Like, if you have bands like Iron Maiden and Judas Priest struggling to get in, I don't think Rat has a very good chance, despite appearing in insurance commercials now.
The continued existence of Rat is just a odd hangover from the 80s, I guess. He says here, I doubt it'll ever happen. Unfortunately, everything is politics.
Why is that the go-to? Why isn't it just you didn't sell a lot of records and no one really thinks about you anymore other than when they're at the county fair and you happen to be playing on the main stage?
Yeah, you were an also-ran in an oversaturated scene. You had way more success than you deserved, and you did nothing for the genre, essentially.
I guess it doesn't make for a good story to say, yeah, you know, we didn't sell enough records, we weren't good enough. That's okay. I'm just glad people still remember us.
I mean, that would be a very honest and good thing to say, I think, but it has to be politics. Stephen Piercy continues here. I watched the last Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's such a piece of shit. Some people deserve to be there and some people really don't. I mean, there's some people from the 50s, 60s, 70s. Let's go, people. I hope you give a shit. Some 80s people need to be in there, definitely. But not that not what's politically, you know, this is the token hair band kind of a thing. So, Motley, it says here Motley Crue had been eligible since 2006. But failed to make the list of nominees. So if Motley Crue is not getting in, Rat is never in a million fucking years getting in.
No. It just reminds me of the joke from The Simpsons. It was one of the Treehouse of Horrors with a band playing, and one of them says, we're not Whitesnake, dude, we're Poison. And another member says, "I thought we were Quiet Riot." And the drummer looks at his drum head and says, "It says here we're Rat."
And yeah, I mean, that's it. It's all fucking interchangeable. It's the same thing. If I were to guess who from the 80s, it would be, I don't know. Yeah, it'd probably be Guns N' Roses and Motley Crue, and that's it. No more. And
even then, maybe Poison.
I don't even think Poison would get in.
Probably not. But I think it also depends on the year of inductions. Like, I know that happens in baseball sometimes. Like, people sneak in because the year isn't very good, and people go, all right, Willie Randolph, that's fine.
Yeah. The fuck did Andy Pettit get here?
Because he was very apologetic about showing up on that list of steroid players, whereas the people who haven't apologized are never going to get in.
Everybody was doing it. It's fine. Let's go with a nice one here. This is a nice change of pace.
Before we move on, I did have the thought, we're going through like the 80s bands right now of being cranky that they're not in. Do you think we're going to get this in like 10 to 15 years with metalcore bands just being like, why the fuck isn't Comeback Kid in here? Why isn't Cyanide Beach in here? They were huge.
Was Comeback Kid ever huge?
No, none of them were, but I don't know. As They Lay Dying, there you go. Are people going to be cranky that they're not in for a little thing like Attempted Murder?
No, what's going to piss everybody off is when the only one that gets in is Atreyu.
I mean, out of all of those, the biggest ones, I mean...
Avenged Sevenfold. Really can't.
Avenged Sevenfold is probably the biggest one, and I don't see them getting in. We're just going to run out of 50s doo-wop bands. They'll get in way before any of these.
Yeah, I think that, you know, as soon as the internet comes into play, like, you're done. I think it's all over. I think that legitimately Drake stands a better chance of getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame than any of the metalcore bands.
Absolutely.
So looking forward to Blabbermouth 2040. That's going to be the big belly ache. Mark your calendars if we're alive.
Followed by people complaining that Lamb of God should be playing the halftime show at Super Bowl.
Oh my God! Yeah, it'll be evergreen moving forward. Here's a nice story rather than like an annoying one. It says Scott Wino Weinrich says that COVID vaccines are not real vaccines.
Well, I'm looking at the headline. Do you want to read the whole headline?
I'll let you read it.
Deep thinker Scott Wino Weinrich says COVID-19 vaccines are not real vaccines. See, that's where the Blabbermouth writer gets in and puts a little twist on it.
The Blabbermouth slave snapped with that one.
Well, that's like the one with Dave Ellison saying he put his DNA on Megadeth, and that was the headline.
It's a shame that none of the Blabbermouth posts are assigned to a writer. It's all assigned to Blabbermouth, because I feel like whoever did that should take credit for it.
They deserve a pat on the back.
I agree. Do you want to lead us on this one? Because you actually you set me down the Blabbermouth rabbit hole with this particular story.
People may remember, about 5 months back, maybe six, the Obsessed, or was, yeah, I think it was the Obsessed, whatever. It was Wino was on tour with the Skull going through the United States playing Mediocre Old Man Doom, and the Skull had to drop off the tour because Eric Wagner, the vocalist, who's also in the band Trouble, got sick with COVID and died. And in the ensuing days and weeks, Wino seemed pretty unapologetic or not very reflective of his stances when it came to COVID and vaccinations, and was pretty much playing up that it's all a big government plot. And 6 months later, has changed nothing because he is back at it again.
Yeah. He's been pretty anti-vax for a while now. Happened to kill a longtime friend of his, allegedly. And, he says it's a not so much a real thing. He says that it's a depopulation tool specifically, which I know we had talked about in the past as a kind of a confusing thought, because he does believe COVID-19 is real. It's a real virus that people can get. And judging by the body count in the U.S. alone, it seems like that would be the real depopulation tool.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. I'm not a conspiracy person, but wouldn't it make more sense thinking that the government released this virus that's killing people rather than, oh, the virus is real, but this cure is the real virus?
Yeah, it's just a deeply confusing set of beliefs to hold at the same time. Which, you know, it doesn't stop anybody. I have all kinds of completely contradictory, stupid thoughts in my own head all the time, but this is just a strange one to use as your hobby horse.
Well, I suppose it may have something to do with the holes in his brains from years of drug abuse.
Literal ice cream scoops. Yeah, he says that, he does have... It's the thing about conspiracy theories that I get on all the time, is that there are little nuggets of things that make sense in them, in the statements that people make about them, for the most part, you know.
It's the difference. He's not stupid. He's just crazy.
Yes. He says here, when the government comes out and says there's no federal response to COVID, what the fuck does that mean? What that means is that CDC protocol prohibits the use of anything that will cure you. Again, that first half of that statement, I share his disbelief that the government is like, it's up to the states. And if you live in Texas like I do, the state is pretty hell-bent on letting you fucking die. So having no federal response is not such a great thing to say. And then leading it to a wild swing here, it means that the COVID vaccine is fake and will actually kill you. So, I don't know. What do you think about that?
I mean, there's another quote here, too. This is from an interview with whatever the fuck Laughing Monkey Music is. I mean, Toilet of Hell is not a good name, but...
No, and I regret it every day, but at least we're not Laughing Monkey Music.
He said, I had COVID, so it totally exists. I'm not denying that it exists, and I'm not anti-vax either. But we know for a fact, you can go right on the Moderna website. It's not a vaccination. It's not a vaccination by any standards. It is a platform. That's what they say on their website. So anybody can take it from there.
See, this is the real problem with marketing speak. Don't call your vaccine a vaccination platform. Call it a fucking vaccine. Call it a shot.
Like, Is Wino going to rent a boat and go out into the ocean looking for a literal platform that says Moderna on it?
I think his takeaway from that is that the marketing speak with the Moderna vaccine platform is that they mean that you can be altered in a way to, because it's an mRNA vaccine, it can be, you know, edited, altered to adjust to upcoming viruses. But he took that as a way of saying it's a platform for putting chips in your blood, essentially.
The government does not want to track to the guy from The Obsessed, I promise you. They do not care.
I mean, what if what if they do, though? What if we're the wrong ones on this one?
If they do, then great. Cool. Follow around the guy who stumbles around his apartment in between tours that don't do very well. It's a good usage of time and money. And he continues, no matter what anybody says, I know what I know. And it all points to a sinister depopulation agenda. And I don't give a fuck what anybody thinks. That's what I believe. And he finished it up with, if I'm going to stick an injection in my body, I want to get high.
Hell yeah, brother.
I just can't get over that his friend is dead. The person he was on tour with is dead. They are not coming back. He is in the ground. And nothing changes for you? you're still on this? You still think if he got the vaccination, he would be deader?
I don't know, man. I think that, again, these contradictory ideas are just jutting up against each other and melding rather than falling apart. So I don't think that there's anything that you can do to change Wino's mind on this.
His brain is tapioca.
Unfortunately so. This will not be the last time we revisit Wino in the year 2022, I am positive.
God, he's going to live forever too, isn't he?
He sure is. He's going to make it to 99. And all, when he does kick the bucket, all these people are going to be like, ah, I can't believe it. It's so sad.
He was so young. He's going to get COVID like 5 or 6 times and be fine. And then someone's going to get it, and 3 days later, they're dead. I hate that. I hate that about this. No lessons are learned.
Not a single goddamn lesson. But moving on here. Metallica hits 1.3 billion in 2021 Spotify streams. So, you know, they made, I think, probably like a couple thousand bucks on that, right?
It's pretty good for them. I'm sure they have a special deal.
Oh, yeah.
If anyone is going to have a special deal with Spotify to get a little extra money, it's going to be them.
Yeah, like Metallica and Taylor Swift, they worked out contracts. Like, we're on this bitch because we get more. Like, we're taking the lion's share of this shit. So, pretty good. Pretty good stuff. Good for them. I would like to remind people, if they had maybe forgotten, but there are... other bands in metal that you could theoretically listen to.
It's weird to me that people want to listen to Metallica that much, only because like the biggest songs, the big hits, you could hear them anywhere you want.
Yeah,
you can turn on your local rock radio station and keep it on for an hour. You will hear Enter Sandman. You might hear Sanitarium. All of these big songs, you can hear it anywhere you want. Like, I understand if you're listening to demos or older stuff, I get that. I mean, you probably already own all of that music anyway, but I suppose you're working in your machine shop and you really want to hear Metal Militia or Call of Cthulhu, okay, I guess, but that's not what the big songs are. It's all the hits, and I don't know. Maybe it's just Brazil really coming through for Spotify hits for them.
Could be. I think I listened to S&M on Spotify once in 2021. So, you know, I did my part. I helped. That was me.
I mean, if I ever want to listen to something like that, I'll just open up an incognito browser and go to YouTube, because Spotify will do the thing where you listen to one song once and then it shows up forever in your recommended and your Discover Weekly and what's out this week. Like, I listened to one Busta Rhymes song once, and almost every week there's something else with him in it showing up in new music or in Discover. So it's just like, I'd rather they don't know me what things I want to hear on a whim once.
Yeah, the memory remains. You could have picked a way worse artist for that.
Absolutely.
I generally always want to listen to Busta.
It's more of he'll do a guest spot with someone. That's kind of what happens. He'll do whatever, a verse, but it'll show up because, you know, how long does that take to do guest vocals for a rap song? And I just don't want, because I felt like listening to ROCK in the USA, I don't want Spotify recommending it forever for me.
That's fair. I share my Spotify account with my wife, so all my recommendations are fucked forever.
What shows up that really bugs you?
It's I don't care, because that's the thing. Like, if I'm opening Spotify, I'm generally like, I'm only listening to Spotify when I'm working out, essentially. So I go to the same stupid hardcore playlists I always listen to.
So it's all Hatebreed.
Essentially. I mean, I'm not going to quibble over what the actual bands are, because it's all the fucking same thing, right?
It's all Hatebreed and Terror and Throwdown. Yelling and getting massive gains.
Yeah.
And then working 9 to 5 comes on and you You gotta, that'll be your rest period.
But that's the thing, though. Like, I love, like, the, that, you know, 80s, 90s country music shit that my wife listens to. So I'm not going to get mad if I'm listening to Firestorm and all of a sudden it's like All My Exes Live in Texas comes on. That's fine.
But you can't get your pump on to it.
If you know, it's not about the music. It's putting yourself in the mental space ready to get swole. Once you start your pump, you're good. You know, anything else is excuse making. Related, I weigh like the smallest amount I've ever weighed, so I am not swole at all right now.
Well, I can give you some of mine and we'll even add.
I need some mass, bro. I'm having some trouble here. Moving on a bit, we have some that, I don't know. These are less fun to me, but we could do them anyway. Jared Dines enlists members of Trivium, The Haunted, Polyphia, and more for fourth the biggest Shred collab song in the world. So this is his fourth edition of the biggest Shred collab song in the world. Were you familiar that he was doing this in the past?
No.
Okay. I'm looking through, you know, maybe one through three is nothing but like heavy hitters, but I'm looking through the guitarists featured on the fourth one, and I'm not super impressed. You know, you've got basically one that I would really give major props to. I'm talking, of course, about Michelangelo Baddio of Nitro. But other than that, you've got like the guy from Atreyu, the guy from that used to be in Rings of Saturn, Heafy, and then like Ola England and a bunch of YouTube people you've never fucking heard of in your life. It's not hearing aids, right?
I just don't care about this stuff. I know everyone got real mad at Gal Gadot and celebrities singing Imagine, and I mean, to me it was people getting really angry for no real reason. I think this sort of thing that's cropped up during the pandemic has been more annoying-ish, egregious. I don't know this. We're just a bunch of musicians. We're getting on Skype, and we're going to play a song together. Here it is. And I know you've liked some of it, but for me, it's zero interest. I don't care that the third bassist from Coheed and Cambria is on the song with the vocalist from Loverboy and the drummer from I don't know, Page 99, doing a cover song of We're Not Gonna Take It. I just do not care. I'm glad they're having fun.
That's a pretty banger collabo, though. I would definitely listen to that.
But for me, it means nothing to me. And it's still happening.
Yeah.
It's still going on with some of this stuff. And, like, I guess if you're making money off it, cool. If you're raising money for some sort of charity, that's cool. But, like, just as a thing, I don't see the point.
I don't know. I like the 2 minutes to late night collabos. They generally, all of them raise money for either a charity or for the actual musicians that are not able to tour and make money. So it makes sense to me. I don't know. Some of them are hit or miss or whatever. I generally have a lot of patience for it versus whatever Jared Dines does. I have zero patience for it. I believe that Breno is the only one among us that would.
And he's not here to defend himself.
Yeah. So, again, just listen to We Are Stars instead of this. It's for a better cause, probably.
Well, that also has the members of Spinal Tap in it. So, yes, it is instantly better.
Absolutely. I've got two left here that are pretty lame, but we're also running out of time, so maybe we don't have to do this for too long. Killswitch engages Jesse Leach. We need to engage in dialogue and civil discussion to learn anything from each other. No. You're a big fan of Killswitch Engage. What do you think about dialogue and civil discussion?
I'm not having a fucking dialogue with one of those losers who are carrying tiki torches saying Jews will not replace us.
But you know, they have a rich background that we can learn from. and all of these things to better connect with people, right?
I will interpret what he's saying is we should all be nicer to each other, which is a noble thing, but it's not practical.
Right.
Yes, it would be nice for certain people to listen to other people, but it's not going to happen, unfortunately.
So for like a prerequisite for the stupid program that I'm going into, I had to take a philosophy class. I never took a philosophy class in undergrad because I didn't have to. I'm kind of glad that I did because I learned a whole lot about, you know, the stuff that I suppose I should have learned forever ago about, you know, the famous philosophers and all that shit. But so much of it was focused on like debate and like how to have like an honest, enriching debate with another person that shares a different viewpoint. And it's all predicated on your opponent not being a fucking worm. So it's useless.
Shouting debate me on Twitter isn't exactly cause for good debate.
Right. I mean, everything here is the basis of it is that the person that you're talking to must be acting out of good faith, which is just out the fucking window. It doesn't exist. It's a pipe dream. It's a lie.
I mean, your senator and possible third time presidential candidate, Ted Cruz, built his entire career on being a wormy fucking debate.
I mean, lots of them did. You know, it's a hobby for you know, young scions of extreme wealth and future pedophiles. I don't get it. I don't want any part of it, and I think that we need to be more honest about. I'm not going to give you a chance to talk. Instead, I am going to just completely drone you out with fart noises.
You could always go back to Jon Stewart on Crossfire in the 90s calling Tucker Carlson a dick in a bow tie, and his career disappeared for 20 years, and now he's only back from being the absolute biggest piece of shit on a nightly basis on television.
Yeah, like I've seen that clip circulating so many times, and you know, in the Obama years, it's like Jon Stewart ends this man's career, like the most popular show on cable news every single night.
Well, that show was canceled and he was on CNN and he more or less disappeared for a long time and took a backseat to the Glenn Becks and the Rush Limbaughs of the world until they fizzled out and he took over. And he'll fizzle out eventually one day or another.
Yeah, but
someone else will come along.
Yeah, somebody else will come along.
He's replacing Hannity as being the top piece of shit on Fox News, and someone else will come along and be an even bigger piece of shit.
Hannity's been at it for a very, very long time, though. Like, he's getting up in years. You know, and a lot of these guys, they're old, they're tired, but for some reason, Tucker Carlson speaks to a younger generation of shithead than, say, Sean Hannity did.
Well, Sean Hannity was more of, like, the tough guy, Long Island type, and I think Tucker Carlson's more of a whiny rich boy.
Yeah, like the young Nazi class, like the Nick Fuenteses and shit, they look at this bowtie dipshit and they're like, yes, this is exactly what I should be, but except like, you know, 90% more upfront about being insanely racist. And that's like the future of the Republican Party.
And that's why you punch him.
Yeah, it's a pretty... pretty depressing to think about on a deeper basis. So, now that we have made it through 59 minutes of blabbermouth headlines, I'm going to open this floor up. Jordan, what's on your mind?
2021 was probably the worst year of my life, so I'm really hoping that 2022 is even slightly better. And we're 2 days in now. By the time you listen to this, will be a few more. Hopefully, things will be better for me, for you, and for everyone listening. We shall see.
Tough year. Not so good. You went through the ringer. I don't think don't think it can get any worse.
I'm not going to say that because it definitely can.
Well, I think it's helpful sometimes for people to process things in terms of chunks of year. I mean, it's an arbitrary thing, but it's, you know, the way that our brains like to work to compartmentalize things. And it seems to me that we might get off to a rough start here, but I do think that for whatever reason, you and I will have a better go of it over the next several months after this, you know, awful January and February that are surely going to happen.
Yeah, we will see if I still have to go into an office in the next couple of weeks, because it ain't looking good, and the local hospital and healthcare system is on the brink of collapse. So we shall see. All good things in the new year.
Yeah, your boy is going to spend the next 12 months in the fucking ICU. So, hey, pray for JoJo. And with that, I think I actually need to duck out and do some homework.
All right, study hard. Don't put the TV on. Have a snack.
Folks, I promise you, we won't make you sit through another hour of Blabbermouth headlines unless we have to.
Unless nothing happens again for another week.
In the interim, I do have a number of homework episodes, stuff that require a little bit of work out of me. I'm going to get a vibe this first week, see what's required of me, and see when I can sneak it in so that we can have a little bit more fun. If you like this show, I just put up a bonus episode on the Patreon. What did we even talk about with that one, dude?
We talked about a writer from a fellow metal website making a real bad decision on their top 10 list of 2021.
Oh yeah, yeah.
We talk shit. It's basically a good enough reason for you to plunk down $5 to listen to it.
Oh, also we talked about my favorite bodybuilder. So if you want to hear me describe a man's body for 20 minutes, you should listen to this one. I'm fucking computer's burning up. I'm getting so many subscriptions to the Patreon right now.
People really need to hear you talk slowly and centrally about a grown man who is so large he cannot properly clean himself.
It's awesome. All right, everybody. So, hey, go listen to that, and we'll see you next week. We love you. Be safe, and keep on rocking.
Bye.
listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.